The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, one of the hardest working guys I know, well, he tells me that anyway, is Sean Defoe, political correspondent of Bauer. And he joins us from Washington, D.C. He has been with Micheál Martin for his 5-day trip. And of course, this is a really big day for the Taoiseach, because the two previous times that Patrick's Day came up when he was Taoiseach, he had a virtual White House connection because of COVID in 21. And the other one in 22 had to be cancelled due to a positive COVID test. So he gets his big chance today. He's the first leader to get to the Oval Office since Zelensky. So obviously there's trouble on the mat, and the EU announcing they're going to respond to a 26 billion of trade tariffs. It's not going to be easy. Sean, what's the latest from Washington?
Morning, Ivan. Yeah, look, it's going to be a big day for him. And it's something that's sort of been remarkable of Micheál Martin the last few days, and everybody around him, is just the calm that they have been exuding, even given everything that you've talked about there. You know, they feel that they're well prepped for this. They feel that the relationship is a particularly good one, and that today is a day that they can get through positively. But of course, there are all sorts of wild cards, and we'll talk about them all over the course of the next few minutes. One that has perhaps been taken off the table for the time being, at least, is Ukraine. Obviously, we get that draft ceasefire deal. Russia saying this morning that they'll discuss it with the Americans before making any sort of a decision. But it makes the Ukraine side of things an awful lot easier for Micheál Martin, because all he has to do now is go in and agree with Trump and say, well done. And he started that. He said he had an unerring commitment to peace last night, butter him up on that side of things. And speaking to me late last night, the Taoiseach said very much the ball on this is now into Russia's court.
He already laid down preconditions, some of which may enable him, given what has transpired in the last number of weeks, to actually come forward. But it's certainly very much now up to Russia to respond to what I think is a positive initiative today. The continuation of the war will only lead to more peace and destruction. More destruction and death. And therefore, we need peace. In my view, it has to be fair. It has to be lasting. And I know today a lot of issues were discussed around security and so on, and security guarantees, which didn't appear in the actual agreement, but it has been confirmed by American participants that was discussed also. So I think there is a process there, and I think people should give it their best effort now to enable a ceasefire initially, and then a substantive and fair and lasting peace.
Yeah, we discussed that earlier in the last hour on the show, and there's no doubt it is a big plus for Trump insofar as his tactic of falling out with Zelensky to force him into a deal, restoring the intel, restoring the military aid that was previously agreed, and giving perhaps an insight into the possibility of a US backstop if there's a full deal with Russia. Calling Russia's bluff will put him in good mood and in better odour with Europe. Now, you were speaking to the former press secretary for the Republicans, Sean Spicer, and there's no shortage of advice to Micheál. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I know you think this trip is all junket and garden parties, and last night was all junket and garden parties. The Taoiseach got into Washington and had a big reception at the ambassador's residence with a couple of hundred people there from all across the Irish American Society. Nancy Pelosi was there. Sean Gallagher, the former presidential candidate, was there for some reason. And there was also quite a lot of different media personality types, mostly from CNN, John King, who people would be familiar with, all the sort of the glitz and glamour of it. But among them, I spotted in the crowd Sean Spicer, and he stood out in the crowd because he was wearing a mismatched pair of green and white pants, one leg being white with green shamrocks on it and the other being green with white shamrocks on it. And I went over him to have a chat about how Micheál Martin should play this whole thing. And here's some of what he had to say.
Well, I think my experience is President Trump looks forward to this day. It's an opportunity to really talk about our heritage and our culture and the bilateral trade and investment that each country has. So as long as it stays focused on that, I think everybody's going to have a great day.
Yeah, a lot of people at home are split on, a lot of people want him to raise Gaza and the situation there. And then there's the other thought of view that the economic ties are too important. Like, what approach would you take?
Well, it's not just the economic ties. I mean, look, right now the U.S. is working to get the hostages back to stop the killing in Gaza. You know, I don't know that that's probably the hill to die on for Ireland. It wants to come in and bring up an issue that's not directly impacting Ireland. I don't know that that might be the smartest diplomatic move.
Having spent a lot of time around him, I mean, what advice would you give to Micheál Martin about handling it and making sure he doesn't ask the wrong question?
Well, look, the Taoiseach's been in government a while. He's very well-versed. He's foreign minister. He understands diplomacy very well. I don't think he needs any advice from me. But I think, again, the general advice that I'd give is understand what you're walking into. Donald Trump wants to celebrate our country tomorrow, what binds our two countries together, and stay focused on that. Celebrate that and use that as an opportunity to grow the relationship.
Okay. Great interview with this guy, front page of the Indo. You mightn't have seen it today. Joe Russell, who manages Trump's emporium and golf club at Doombeg. And apparently the state of the road from Kilrush to Doombeg is desperate. It's Baghdad style. And the water supply has been disrupted. Like, if I was Micheál, I'd be saying, I'm straight on to CEO of Clare County Council, and I'm going to fix those problems for you. Because he is a transactional guy, and he said the Trumps are well aware of it. But on a more serious note, just talk us through... So it's 6 a.m. your time in Washington. He meets J.D. Vance first. Then he goes to the West Wing. And then later on, which I think is around 5 o'clock, which would be 11 o'clock Irish time, the remarks in the East Room of the White House and the Shamrock handover. At what point is the wild card element, as we saw with Zelensky, when the room is full of journalists? Will you be in that room? And, you know, if someone asks him a question about, well, you recognize Palestine or something like that, how will that play out today?
Yeah, so I will be in that room. It's going to be about 3 to 4 o'clock Irish time. So it's down for sort of 11-ish US time. So the whole run of the day, I suppose, like you say, you have the breakfast with J.D. Vance this morning up at the Naval Observatory. I'm heading out to that now shortly, and then going across to the White House. And that Oval meeting, the one people would be familiar with is the Zelensky style. That's pretty early on in the day, which gives you some hope from certainly the Irish side that a Zelensky moment won't be repeated, because obviously they could just kick him out of the White House afterwards. Whereas if he goes and tears into Micheál Martin at the Oval, he still has to go have lunch with him and then go have a reception with him. He'll be sort of hanging around for the whole day. So the wild card of Gaza could come into play there. And I think it's fairly likely that either on the Irish side or the American side, some journalist is going to ask the question on that. He wasn't giving away anything yesterday as to his insight. And we asked him several times, how are you going to respond to that? What if the Occupied Territories Bill comes up? And he said, look, we'll deal with it. We're talking about getting a ceasefire, and that's what he wants to do. And I think that's the way he's trying to deflect any question, is put it back onto the ceasefire, link it in to Ukraine, say Donald Trump is a great peacemaker, honouring commitment to peace, all this kind of stuff. The other wild card that is, we don't really know what's going to happen with this today, is the Burke family, who you will have seen, I'm sure it's in all the papers there this morning, were on a flight to Washington yesterday. We don't know if they have been invited to that reception in the East Room in the evening. There is some speculation that they have. And it is the kind of story that obviously Elon Musk has been tweeting about, but also that J.D. Vance loves. He made a similar connection with the story in Scotland when he was giving a speech in Europe, and it could be something that comes into the East Room and provides a bit more controversy around Micheál Martin. Certainly it's the one wild card that his team were not expecting to be in play this week.
Right. Well, that is the wildest of wild cards. Now, I support Trump on the Ukraine thing. I don't support him on the tariffs. Now, what's emerged yesterday was the figures for the trade. So we talk about $54 billion of exports of goods, pharma, medical devices and so on. It was actually $72.6 billion. There was a trade surplus between the EU and the US on the EU side of $200 billion. These are new figures. And landed in on top of that is the president of the commission, Ursula, coming out saying, we will retaliate if he goes ahead with his 25% tariffs on the 2nd of April with a $26 billion tariff on trade from the US to EU. There's just no way of soft shuffling that one, is there?
There's not. And, timing is everything with all of these. It is going to be something that's definitely to the forefront of Trump's mind. We went through yesterday what Micheál Martin's argument on that is going to be. And he's going to be say there's a lot of stuff that isn't captured in the figures and Boeing and Ryanair and AerCap buying all of that, Glanbia and Glendimplex, all the different Irish companies that have a presence in the US and are hiring US people. Speaking to some people last night at the reception who would be more of the Republican persuasion, including Sean Spicer, they said that's going to wash. Ireland is a minnow by comparison, which could be to our deficit and could be as well to our benefit, in that they think that Trump is very much going to look at each country individually and tailor his tariff package, not just to the EU as a bloc. As for the EU retaliating, I mean, that had to come. And Micheál Martin again was asked last night about it and said, look, we don't want tariffs. They're not good for the economy. We have a couple of weeks here. Let's get around the table and get a deal or have a discussion on a particular deal. He wants to speak Trump's language in that particular aspect of it. But it's hard to know, because obviously we saw it first. Canada and Mexico stood up to the tariffs and they were rolled back for a while. Now they're in place. We've seen this latest tariff row on energy when Ontario put a 25% tariff on electricity, and yesterday Trump announced that he was going to double the steel and aluminium tariffs to 50% as of today. Again, both of those have been walked back a little as they sort of try to get some sort of agreement between the two of them. So the hope, and the most Micheál Martin probably hope for today, is that it comes up, he takes a light enough kicking on it, and they say, well, let's get in the room, let's have a discussion, not end up with all this, and it goes back to Europe as a trade competency that they hold over Ireland anyway. But it's a question that, as much as he's been rehearsing the answers that I've just gone through there, there's no way to soften a trade deficit of that amount.
Yeah, I was chairing a specialist webinar yesterday of investors, and they said, look, there is no cliff edge here. The big pharma firms, some of them here 20, 30 years, they're not going to move overnight. But they said one of the big things that Ireland has in its favour is that the EU are proposing digital taxes, and the Americans find these particularly obnoxious, and Ireland is utterly opposed to them. I mean, the common cause we have is that we're more American in our outlook within the EU as being a gateway from the US to Europe and so on. Like, we are actually in a more friendly disposition than other Europeans.
Well, we are. I mean, we have that access, we have that history, and Trump likes Ireland as well. You know, he not only has business interests here, but he does genuinely like Irish America and Irish people. And he's said that. He made comments in the White House the other day where he's like, I know I shouldn't like these guys, but I just can't help it, which does obviously help your case. But it's an interesting, I've talked to a couple of people again with the Sean Spicer conversation, just chatting to him afterwards and saying, what do you think on tariffs? And he said, if anyone in Europe thinks he's not going to impose these or there's any way to avoid them, that's just not the case. It's in his DNA. He loves tariffs. They are coming. And on the other side, when I was in Austin and in Texas, I got talking to a group of Irish Americans who are heavily involved in the energy and the oil business out there, and saying that, you know, really all that Trump has been saying isn't changing their outlook at all. Like you're just saying, these companies plan in 10 and 20 year horizons. They were always drill, baby, drill in Texas, but they're also looking at what happens when the oil runs out. They're looking into green energy. They're looking into solar, into hydrogen, all of these kind of things. And just because Trump changes a few supports here and there, it's only for a four-year plan. Their plans are locked in for a 15-year horizon. So as much as what he's saying now dominates the news agenda, makes everyone feel like everything is uncertain, these companies who are spending millions and billions, they're going to plow on with what they were doing anyway, because long term, it's another president in 4 years and no one could predict what they're going to do.
OK, now throughout the day, Sean will be reporting into various shows as the story unfolds throughout the day. You heard the itinerary. But just tell me, I've never been at this, but they tell me that the day ends up with a hooli in the White House and they have singers and they have a meal and that. Is that on the agenda? Kind of a private thing?
Yeah, well, it's actually quite a public thing where they all end up in a party. Usually the way it ends up is you have your East Room sort of party. The last time I was at it anyway, I didn't go last year, but the last time I was at it, it was Niall Horan and Rob Carney and all of these people.
And is it a sit-down or a buffet or a carvery or what way does it work?
No, there's not. Well, at that one, there's not usually food. It's just, you know, you have your party, you have your remarks, you do the bowl of shamrock, and then there's a bit of diddly eye and all that kind of stuff. And then afterwards, there is usually in some hotel locally, there's a, the nibbles and the canapés and all the rest.
The serious drinking starts. Well, now, don't let us down here in Bower. Don't let us down. I hope you'll tog out for the heavy drinking.
Well, look, if I have a bit more of a hoarse voice when I'm on with you tomorrow morning, you'll know what's gone down.
Well, doing a terrific job, political editor for the Bower Group, Sean Defoe, giving you every insight that you need as that visit unfolds. Thank you indeed.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.